Heavenly Father, we give you the praise and glory, Lord, this morning. We thank you. We glorify your name for all of your goodness. Can I get an amen on that? Oh, come on, people. Can I get an amen? The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every one of us that is here. We thank you for this special day of celebration. And we thank you because no matter what we go through from day to day, you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we know that you are here with us today. And as we look at the word of God, glorify yourself, Lord, this morning in the message of the Lord and meet every need. And let, by the time that we finish here today, let our hearts rejoice and glorify your name. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen everybody. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak for just a few minutes, and I'm going to encourage us by the word of the Lord. Now, this morning, against all odds. Amen? That's against all odds. I'm going to start here in the book of Romans, and I'm going to start in chapter 4 of Romans. Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 17. Romans 4 and 17. As it is written, I have made it. Now, this is, you know, talking about the promise that God made to Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Do you understand that, folks? I mean, God calls things that are not as though they were. Praise God. He can call things out of nothing. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we are told in verse 18 of Romans 4 that Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that's against all odds, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. He says, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You know, he was almost 100 years old before he got that promise. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, who was about 90 years old. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was, you know, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that's what God had promised, he also was able to perform. Now, Abraham was persuaded that what God had promised, that God was also able to perform. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, from time to time, we do go through various things in our lives. You know, and I'm sure that everybody that is here present has experienced or is experiencing some kind of challenge in your life. And sometimes you are facing, you know, what we might call an uphill battle. You know, something that looks like is almost impossible, at least in human, you know, in human terms, it'll be impossible. But we know that there is nothing impossible with God. Can somebody say amen? You know, and this short message this morning is to encourage us in the Lord. And if you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and every time that we, no matter what we go through in our lives, you know, all of the things, the various challenges and so forth that we go through from day to day, you know, the these things, they are there. You know, nobody really can escape, you know, some of the challenges that we go through from day to day. But here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. Can I get amen on that? Well, you know, some people, the first little sign of trouble, and they give up on the Lord, you know, and they get distressed, you know. Oh, no. But he said, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And when you are cast down, what do? Well, you know, Micah, he put it best in Micah 7 and verse 8. He said, you know, when I am cast down, in fact, he challenged his enemy. He said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Amen? That's in Micah 7 and verse 8. He said, because when I am cast down, so the Lord is going to lift me up. He said, even when I sit in darkness, the Lord is going to be a light unto me. And I love that, and you heard me say that many times here in the church. You know, I love that business about being cast down, you know, but getting up. Praise God. You know, he said, well, when I'm knocked down, I'm going to get up. So he's not going to stay down for the count. Amen? Oh, yeah, he's not going to stay down for the count. You know, I've said it before, you know, a good prize fighter, some of those boxers, you know, they might get knocked down in an early round, but they come back and win the fight. Praise God. Because they don't stay down for that count. You know, now, some of you may be going through some things in here this morning. You know, but, you know, do you have this mind in you that you're not going to stay down for the count? Do you have this mind that though you are sitting in darkness, the Lord is going to be a light unto you? Do you have this mind, what the Bible says in Psalm 30 and verse 5, that although sorrow may endure for one night, that yet joy is coming in the morning. Do you have that mind in you? Do you know that God has put night and day in place? From the beginning, he said, let the signs, let the light be in the heavens, and let it be for signs, let it be for days, and let it be for seasons. And from the beginning, that's the way it was. In fact, he looked at the darkness, he didn't like it. You know, and he said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, and from that day, you know, in fact, God, he looked at the light and he looked at the darkness and he gave the light a name. He called it day. And he gave the night also a name. I don't know if some of you have ever thought about that. You know, gave the darkness also a name. He called it the night. So God left both of them in place side by side. You know, and when he brought forth the light, as I've said before, he could have said, let there be light, and let the darkness be no more.
Yes.
He could have said that, but he didn't. Amen? How many of you know that he didn't say, let the darkness be no more? You know, he left the night and the darkness in place alongside with the light. He did that for a reason. You want to know the reason? You have to read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. He says, you know, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. Because God puts the two side by side, you know, so that people's hearts, you know, will not go far away from him, so that people will find nothing after him. You know, he does this and puts it side by side. So there's always going to be night, there's always going to be day. But sometimes the night looks like it's going to go on, it seems, you know, for a long time. You know, and people are, you know, struggling with various things. You know, they're struggling with things that look like you can't even overcome. Well, let me tell you something. No night ever lasts forever. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, sometime soon we're going to, you know, some parts of this country will go into a time change and all of that. And we're going to go into the winter, you know, fall, you know, we fall is passing away and going into, you know, and then, you know, pretty soon, you know, we'll go into the winter months and all of that, you know, and, you know, then that we're going to have longer nights and shorter days, you know. But all of this signifies something to us that no matter how long the night goes on, at some point in time, the day must break. Praise the name of the Lord. It cannot go on forever because the Lord already fixed that. You know, that the night's going to be for a certain time and then the day is going to come. So no matter what we are going through, you know, and I'm going to show you some examples of some people that went through some very great odds in the Bible. You know, they had things that, you know, people thought they couldn't overcome, you know, but, you know, see, you may not be able always to prevent the things. You know, some things we can prevent. You know, you have to listen to the message on the website called Overcoming Adversity. And in that message, the Lord showed us how we can actually avoid a lot of adversity. You know, but that's not my subject today. You know, because sometimes you cannot prevent some of these things. Sometimes Satan, you know, he comes in and cheap shots. But what you can do is how you respond, you know, to the situation at hand. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, how do you respond to the things, you know, and we're going to look at, you know, one of my favorite examples in the Bible of, you know, how he used to deal with this, you know, with these kinds of situations when he's faced with all kinds of odds, you know. So we're going to look at that, you know, that today in the Bible. So I want you to turn with me, and I'm going to start to give you a few promises and a few things here that can, you know, lift, cause you to lift up your heads. Amen? Amen, people? Amen. You know, when you are cast down a little bit and so forth like that, you know, there is the word of the Lord, you know, that can make you to rejoice and lift up your head. One of my favorite examples in the Bible about all of that is, of course, David. We call him the psalmist. And he knew better than anybody else in that Bible how to encourage himself. In fact, there is a story in the book of 1 Samuel and verse chapter 30, you know, and we read in that story there, you know, and I don't have time to tell the whole story because I don't want to preach very long this morning, but in that story, you know, David, his wives and everybody, you know, and so forth had, you know, been captured, and they, you know, they had lost everything, you know. So, you know, he says here in verse 6 of the 1 Samuel chapter 30, and David was greatly distressed. See, because his wife, children, and everybody had been captured. You know, this is the story of Ziklag and all of that, you know, so you can read it yourself later on, but I don't have time to go into that. You know, but, you know, and even, you know, people, you know, at that time, they come up against David, and, you know, they say, they took up their frustration against him, you know, and, you know, everybody, you know, wanted to even, you know, I mean, they wanted to rush against him, and blame him for all the evils that, you know, that had happened to them. And but he listened to what it says. You know, David was greatly distressed. And the end of the verse is, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's right. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And how do you think he did that? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How did he do that? You know, well, you can read it in Psalm 42. And you'll see how he did it. You know, if you want to turn with me quickly to Psalm 42 and see how he encouraged himself when he was faced with all his odds in his family, everybody had been captured and so forth like that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Here's what he said, you know, in Psalm 42. And he said in verse 5, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. So now David is going to talk to his own soul. He's going to tell his soul, look, you don't need to be cast down. You know, why are you cast down? Hope in God, he said. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, I shall yet praise him. You know, I'm going to go after the enemy. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to yet praise the name of the Lord. You know, and he said it continuously in that verse, in that chapter. He said it several times. You'll see it also in verse 11 and also in Psalm 43. You know, and verse 5, he said the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, why art thou disquieted within me? I want you to hope in God, because I will yet praise him. He told his soul all the time. I encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, that's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Amen. No matter what you are facing. Now, one time he faced the lion, you know, and he faced the bear. And even one time he faced Goliath. And every single time, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh yeah, he reloaded on that faith, even when that faith was down. You know, and he knew how to praise the name of the Lord, even when things were not going good. And he encouraged himself. Listen to something else that he said here in Psalm 27. These are some of the ways that he encouraged himself when he was facing different things in his life. The Lord is the light, my light and my salvation, he said. Whom shall I fear? Or even what shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, when they come up against me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Oh yeah, that's his testimony. Praise God. And here, listen to what he said. He said, look, though an host, I don't care if the whole army and everything encamps around me, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now that's somebody that knows the Lord is God. Hallelujah, somebody. I don't care if the whole world turns against me, you know, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me on every side, he said, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. And he went on and said, look, you know, I know, see, that in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Oh yeah, he knew that. Because he spent most of the time praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And he knew how to walk that praise. And he knew how the Lord is going to come and rescue him. Praise God. And he said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, even in the land of the living. That's verse 13 of Psalm 27. Now he said, you know, and after he said all of that, now he's going to speak to you now. He's going to say, wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. Now, he's speaking to himself most of the time. You know, but, you know, it's something that we can learn from. And it's the message of the Lord to us through David. And he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. No matter what you are going through, be of good courage. And the Lord shall strengthen thy heart. Can somebody say amen? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, there's one man also that knew, you know, how to encourage himself in the Bible. You know, he knew how to encourage himself in the times of difficulty and, you know, how to, you know, strengthen himself. His name was Isaiah. Listen to what he said in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Here's what he said. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Oh, he knew, you know, the things. He said, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. You know, no matter what I'm going through, I'm not going to be put to shame. You see, he said, therefore, I will set my face like a flint. That means I'm going to put my game face on. Amen. I'm not going to give that devil, you know, I'm not going to give the devil, you know, a chance to gloat over me. You know, oh no. I'm not going to even give him the satisfaction of thinking that he's got one on me. I will set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. Because the Lord, my God, is going to help me. Can somebody say that in here this morning? Can you say, the Lord, my God, is helping me? You know, can you say, I know that the Lord God will help me. Oh yes, this was Isaiah's testimony. He knew it. You know, because the Lord had earlier told him, you know, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. And I will, you know, be with you and so forth. And he told him, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness and all that. So he didn't forget it. You know, he remembered that promise. And when he faced various things, he said, I know that the Lord, my God, he will help me. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's how you go up against odds. You know, one time a man called Abraham, of whom we read in Romans chapter 4, he was up against all kinds of odds. You know, because he had the promise of God. But it was like, you know, well, you know, this promise that he was going to be the father of nations and all of that, but he didn't even have a single child. And he went childless for many years, you know, but he kept on believing God. In fact, he changed his name to Abraham. And he said, the Lord told me. And I'm sure they ridiculed him and laughed at him. You know, say, well, you don't have a child. How are you going to be the father of nations? He said, well, I know the Lord told me. And I am going to be the father of nations. Because he is able to perform that which he has promised me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he went through all of that, you know, and he stood right there with God's promise. And there was a young man in the Bible, another young man in the Bible, his name is Joseph. I don't have time to read his story, so I'm just going to paraphrase it to you. You know, Joseph was a man in Genesis, you can read his story. And, you know, of course, he used to have all those dreams, you know, and so forth like that, of what, you know, greatness God was going to do in his life and so forth. And when he told his family those dreams, they became envious of him. You know, and one day his brothers plotted evil against him and so on, you know, and they decided they were going to kill him. So one of them said, well, let's not kill him. Let's just, you know, put him over here and sell him over to this slave caravan and so forth. He ended up in Egypt, to cut a long story short, you know, but and all kinds of things happened to him there. The word of the Lord, the Bible says, came and tried him. That's right. Every time that God gives you a promise, God will try you on that promise. You know, some people think, well, you know, if God is God, why doesn't he just jump up and do this thing for me? Well, he will too, but, you know, you're no good to God unless you're tested. Every son whom he receives, he tests and he proves. And he says, I know that when I am brought forth, you know, he said, the Lord will try me like gold and silver, but I know that when I'm brought forth, I'll be refined, I'll be like pure gold in his hand. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord, he tested, you know, the Lord Jesus himself too. He went through all of that and so forth, but he stood right there with the word of the Lord. He did not turn to the left. He did not turn to the right, even in his flesh. You know, one time, you know, he said within his flesh, I don't know, Father, you know, this thing, this cup, you know, if it be your will, take it from me and so forth like that. He struggled with that, but he said, nevertheless, let thy will be done. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh yeah, and he stood right there with the mission. And he didn't go to the left or the right. And therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name today that is above every name. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. And so Joseph, you know, in prison and everything, you know, and I know many times the devil came back to him and mocked him, you know, while he was in prison. Well, we'll see about those dreams now. And they, you know, Joseph said, well, you know, I didn't choose the dreams. The dreams came to me. And he gave me those dreams, it will come to pass. Amen. And we'll see about that. You know, you're going to rot in this jail. And then we'll see about those dreams and so forth. But, you know, sure enough, their dreams came to pass. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. You know, against every odd in the prison and everywhere and so forth like that. You know, and somebody was in prison and things were happening to him. Even one of his cellmates, you know, got killed in prison. You know, of course, the Lord revealed it to Joseph ahead of time, you know, and so, you know, perhaps the devil told him, you're next. Oh yeah, you're next, you know, he's going to call for your head now, you're next. But he stood right there, you know, and he said, oh my God, you know, I know that your word is true. Praise God. And eventually, the word of the Lord came to pass in his life. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, we've seen, you know, we've seen many, many people, you know, that have gone through so many things, even the apostles in the early church, they went through all kinds of things, you know, and the Bible says that, you know, you can read all about it, you know, even some of the things that some of God's people went through in the olden days, in Hebrews 11, you can read all about it. Some of them were sawn asunder, some were thrown to lions' den, some were, all kinds of things happened to them, you know, but for the ones that stood strong, amen, in the face of all of that, you know, they just believed God against all the odds. And they knew, you know, and sometimes they would say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh yes, sir. Job, you know, he went through that, you know, the enemy came up against him, you know, in every which way, you know, first it was, you know, some of his property and all of the things that the Lord has blessed him with, and the next thing, you know, it was like a whirlwind. The devil just came out against him from nowhere, you know, and one day he lost all, and not only that, family and so forth like that. The devil just put out his hand, you know, oh my. The devil, you know, he moved, you know, the Lord to even stir up, you know, some things against Job there for no reason at all. Because Job, the Lord was bragging about him and so forth. And the devil said, well, you know, you think he serves you for no reason? Well, you let me go after him now. And you'll see, we'll see about all that righteousness and so forth. You know, you know, and integrity and all that. And the Lord said, well, all right, go for it. But, you know, he put a limit too on him. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. But at the end, Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And even though he slay me, I will yet praise him. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, all of those things, you know, I don't know if, you know, I don't know what we can do if we were subject to those kinds of things today, you know, but all of those things in the Bible were written for our examples, you know, so that we can draw strength from some of the things that these people have gone through. Now, let me read a few things to you, a few promises to you before we close this. You know, I want to read some of the things that, you know, Paul wrote about. You know, now Paul, when he went, you know, he went through so many things, you know, and of course, the Lord allowed many of the things that he went through because God had ordained it like that, you know, so that some of us also may receive strength from these things that they, you know, some of the apostles that went before us, you know, that they went through and so forth. And, you know, he wrote some incredible things, you know, in the book of Romans, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, you know, but I want to read this. I want to read this to you here. In fact, you know, I'm just going to go to Romans and read that because of time. Romans chapter 8. Let me read what Paul had to say in Romans chapter 8. Talking about all of the things that we face from time to time and how to deal with adversity and, you know, against all the odds that we may face in our lives. Here's what he said. Romans 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things that we face on a daily basis? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not also with him freely give us all these things? Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, who is it that can condemn us? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, listen to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, you know, and all these things that we face from day to day, shall distress, shall persecution, you know, shall famine, shall nakedness, even if we don't have anything to wear, you know, shall danger, peril, or the sword even. All of these things. He said, can these things separate us from the love of Christ? He said, but as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, you know, finally he come out and said, no, he looked at everything. He's seen all the things. He said, some of us are apostles, we are like the offscouring of the earth, like the filth of the earth. You know, God's made us to go through all these things. You know, and finally he said, I know that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah! In all these things, we are more than not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. Hallelujah, somebody. And he said, because of him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now, this is Paul speaking. Are you persuaded? See, this is Paul's testimony here now. Let's hear what he has to say about it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Now, Paul has been through some things, boy. You know, you know, he was escaped from death so many different times. You know, and he's come up against some of those principalities. Oh, he knew how to pull down those strongholds. Oh, yes. He knew how to cast down imaginations. You know, he said principalities, powers, things present, or even things to come. You know, in other words, trouble that is even still down the road that hasn't even happened yet. See, the one that I'm in now and the one that is yet to happen, none of these things move me, he said. Because I know that I'm more than a conqueror. Neither heart. Now look at it. You know, when you are on the top of the mountain, you know, when you are in cloud nine, whatever it is, you know, everything is going good. Well, you know, Paul said, well, I don't know, you know. And when I'm down in the depths, he said, look, I have learned to know how to both abound and be in want. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know all of these things. And he said, look, I don't care whether it's height. I don't care whether it's depth. I don't care if it's any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, I don't care what I'm facing. I know the love of God is able to keep me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now listen to how the psalmist said it, and we're going to close. He said it best. You know, here's how you do it. No matter what you're going through. Praise God. In Psalm 24, and I love this one. Psalm 24, here's how he put it. Praise God. Psalm 24. And he's going to talk about, you know, your attitude, you know, to the situations that you are facing. You may be facing all kinds of odds in your life. You may be facing situations where God's, you know, where people said, you know, God's not going to do anything for you, you know. I mean, doctors may give you up or whatever it is, you know. What are you going to do? Now listen to this, Psalm 24, where he talks about it. He said in verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, you say, and he encouraged himself? Absolutely. Not only did he encourage himself, he spoke the same word of confidence, you know, to everything around him. You know, he assumed that confidence. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, that's how you do it. No matter what you are going through, you know, the Bible says, of course, you know, that when men are cast down, that thou shalt say unto them that there is a lifting up. And that's what I'm doing here this morning. You know, you may be cast down, you know, for a little bit, but there is a lifting up in Jesus' name. Now, and all you got to do is to lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And he says again, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, that little child that wants to be carried, they lift up their hands. You know, when they see the parent, they're lifting up their hands because they want to be carried. Amen. Amen. Oh yeah. You got, don't bow your head in shame and defeat. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And the King of glory. Hallelujah, somebody. The King of glory shall come in. And who is this King of glory? Oh my. Do you know his name in here this morning? Can somebody say his name? Oh yeah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And no matter what you are facing, the name of Jesus is highly lifted up. The name of Jesus is above every name. And what you are facing in life, the challenges of life and so forth, like that, of course, they will come. You know, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, look, I have seen a great distress, you know, under the sun. You know, I've seen that evil, chance and evil and all of these things happen to everybody and so forth. Well, they may happen. It's how you respond. That's what's going to make the difference. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I mean, you can do everything that you know how to do, and you should. You know, and the Lord will bless you if you are walking in his ways and obeying the voice, his voice, and doing all of his commandments and keeping all of his statutes. He'll keep a lot of evil from you, you know, and so forth. But sometimes, you know, there will be some things that will still happen. But when those things happen, and when you're facing, no matter what you're facing, you know, then you need to know that the Lord is your strength. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, and I'm just going to throw this in here before I close. You know, somebody said to me during the week, he said, you know, there was something that I wanted to do, you know, and so forth, you know. And I said, well, you know, let the will of the Lord be done. You know, I said, amen. You know, and, you know, sometimes we know that the will of the Lord must be done. We know that. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, but sometimes I've heard people hide behind this, let the will of the Lord be done. Because they don't have any faith. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Or they just hide behind it. They say, oh, well, you know, let the Lord, you know, they say, well, the Lord is in control of everything and so forth like that. You know, and let the will of the Lord. Well, we know that the Lord, you know, is the ruler of the universe.
Amen.
We know he's king over all his works. See, but let me tell you something today that may shock you. I want you to listen to this. This may shock you, but I'm going to say it. The Lord is not in control of everything. He is not in control of everything. Now, he can be, but he chooses not to be. He's giving you a free choice in some things. The Lord is in control of the things that you relinquish control and give over to him. He's in control of those things. But you think the Lord is in control of somebody who took, you know, a knife and goes on a, a gun and goes on a rampage and shoots everybody up? The devil is doing those things.
Amen.
You know, and people try to blame all these things on the Lord and so forth. You know, every little thing say the Lord is this and so forth. No, the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
You know, one time in Matthew 8, one man came, he said, you know, was a leper. He came to Jesus and said, I know you are the good master and I know this and so forth like that. And if you will, I know if you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, and this is the same answer that he gives every single time.
Yeah.
I will be thou made whole.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now that is the Lord's will concerning sickness.
Yes.
Don't anybody ever tell me it's God's will for somebody to be sick or to die through sickness. That is not God's will. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God's will is for you to be healed. In fact, he settled that by sending his son and he paid the price.
Hallelujah.
That's his will.
Yes.
Now, it is his will for us to be healed. Does that mean everybody is going to be healed? Of course not. But it is his will. Just like the Bible says, it is God's will. You know, it is not his will that any should perish, but it is his will that all should come to the knowledge of repentance through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's his will.
Hallelujah.
But will everybody be saved?
No,
of course not. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see, but I know that God is able to heal every sickness. God is able to raise the dead even.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's a God who quickens the dead. He can do all of that. So, praise the name of Jesus. Now, if he doesn't do it, like we said last couple of Sundays ago, you know, if God doesn't do the thing that you are praying for whatever reason, not because he couldn't do it, but he didn't do it, will you still serve him? And will you still love the Lord? Hallelujah, somebody. You know, I know in my heart that God is able to do everything. Praise God. And if he doesn't do it, well, for whatever reason, you know, that's his business. You know, my business is to believe. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm going to believe anything that he says, you know, his word. I'm going to believe it just the way he says. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you say, you know, somebody is still struggling with what I said about God not being in control. Well, let me break it down to you like this. You know, He will be in control of your life if you let him be in control. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, God can overrule if he wants. And maybe one day I will explain it to the church. You know, there's a difference between his will and his eternal purpose. You know, and they work together. And I'm going to say that, you know, later on. You know, but, you know, there are some things that God wants to do and he can overrule some things. But generally, he just lets people make their choice. You know, praise God.
Hallelujah.
He'll say, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, you can choose. If you want to serve the Lord, that's fine. You know, and then people say, well, God is in control. Now, the same people that will not surrender their lives to Christ, they are the people that always say, God is in control of everything. Well, you know, you think? Of course, he can be in control of everything. But he chooses not to be. He gives you the opportunity to willingly deliver control to him. God doesn't have to grab at anything because he is already king. He doesn't have to grab at any control, you know, and so forth. He wants you to give it to him. And if you give him control of your life, then he will be in control. Now, for the children of God that are in the kingdom of God, God is in control of their lives when they are walking in the light. Hallelujah, somebody. But God doesn't play dice with your lives. You know, when you are walking in the light as he is in the light, hallelujah, then he is controlling your life. The steps of a righteous man are ordered, but not the steps of everybody.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Does it say the steps of everybody are ordered from above? No, the steps of a righteous man.
Hallelujah.
The righteous man.
Hallelujah.
He is the one that God is controlling his life.
Praise
Now, so if you want God to be in control of your life, you have to turn your life over to Him.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. You turn your life over to Him, then He will be in control. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And then when He is in control, you can relax. See, but anytime you want, you can grab control back from Him. Oh yeah. See, even when He's in control, that's what we do most of the time. We go grab control back from Him, and then we'll say, all right, you know, I'll let you do it your way. And when you're ready, you come back to me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Now, here's what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, He's not going to force anybody to come. He's already thrown the invitation out. You say, God is in control of that. He is, but He chooses for you to make the choice and come to Him. But if you do come, hallelujah. Oh yeah, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, you can bring your burdens unto the Lord. Because the Bible says, cast your burden upon me, Jesus said. And take my yoke instead. He said, I'll make you a trade. You bring me all those problems, and let me take care of it, you know. But if you don't deliver those things unto Him, you know, if you give it to Him with one hand, you take it back with another, well, He can't help you then. You know, cast your burdens upon the Lord, because He careth for you. And no matter what you are going through, you believe the Lord with all your heart, according to the word of the Lord. You believe, and don't doubt in your heart, because, you know, he that doubted, the Bible says, is like a wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, and when some evil happens, let's not blame the Lord for all those things. You know, and some say, well, if God is good, why do you allow that to happen and so forth? Well, because the people did not follow His prescription. Amen. Because Adam and Eve did not follow the word of God, and that's why we have all this trouble. You know, they chose to do that, you know, and so forth, and brought all this evil upon themselves. But in spite of it all, the mercy of God has made a way of escape. Hallelujah. Now, if you're going through today, and remember what I said, going through. Hallelujah. Nobody is ever going into some problem. Everybody is going through some problem. Which means you're already coming out on the other side. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
By your own admission, you say, I'm going through some things. Well, that means you're coming out on the other side.
Yeah.
You know? So, whatever you are going through today, it is only temporary, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. You know, that's where the power is at, is in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to lift up your hands this morning, and I want you to zero in on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not me, but it is Him. Hallelujah. And here's what He says unto you. I am God alone, and there is none else. There is no Savior besides me. Praise the name of the Lord. There is no Savior besides the Lord. And He is the only one that can save you. Now, everything that you are going through, your struggles, and all the things that you have in your mind, that you're wondering, you know, well, who the Lord, you know, is the Lord this and that and so forth. See, here's what the Lord has to say about that. You know, it is the enemy that has done this. See, the Bible says, the good man planted good seed, but while men slept, the enemy came and planted tares and all of these things. You see, God's desire for your life. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. In Jeremiah 29 and 11. My thoughts towards you are of peace. They are for good. And not for evil. That is the will of God in your life. And the Bible says you must understand. Be ye wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for you to prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prosper. You know. But even, you know, sometimes it may not be exactly that, because the enemy is going to contest that. But we are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to pray a mass prayer here this morning. Now if you believe that the Lord is able to bring you through anything and everything that you are going through, then I want you to lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to say, Lord Jesus. I'm praying already. Lord Jesus, look upon the people that believe in their hearts that you are able to bring them through. And I ask the mercy of God. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you give an understanding and illuminate their minds with faith so that they'll know that you are able. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And I must pause and say this to you, that, you know, for you to believe that God is able to take care of your situation, that is non-negotiable. If you don't believe that, God can't do anything for you. You know, but if you believe that he is able, no matter what you are going through, all the things that, you know, even the enemy say it cannot be done, you just believe the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that's his business. He specializes in the things that men call impossible. You know, with men, it may be impossible, but there shall nothing be impossible with God. Now, all the things that so far the enemy has challenged you and mocked you and so forth and told you that it cannot be done in your life, you know, your dreams and your aspirations and so forth like that, that which the enemy has contested, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord that is able to call things that are not as though they were. Let's believe the Lord together this morning. We call forth that in Jesus' name, and let there be. You know, that's how Jesus, he did it in the beginning. All he said was, let there be. Amen? Amen. Now, let there be a resurrection in your life of the things that are faded away, the things that are withered away, things that are dead even. Arise! And receive light in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap in here this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, for every situation that you are facing, I want to say it to you this way. One time the Lord, he showed me this, and I saw that, and I was standing, you know, beneath a mountain. It was a big mountain, you know, and, you know, I couldn't even see the top of the mountain, you know. You know how it is when, you know, because of the elevation, if you are so close to a tall building, you may not be able to see the top of the building. Anybody understand what I'm saying? If you stand at the bottom, you may, you know, if the building is so tall, you have to stand way back before you can see the top. Well, you know, the mountain that was so big, you know, that I couldn't see beyond it. I couldn't even see the top of it. That means I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. You know, finally the voice of the Lord said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And then I stood back far enough to where I could see the top of the mountain. Oh my goodness. And I saw this colossal figure. This huge figure. And he dwarfed that mountain. My goodness. And he just stood like this. And the mountain looked like a small dust, you know, to his colossal size. That's how great our God is. If you will only stand back and give him control. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated.